All right, then, into our second hour. We are live from the Quicken Loan Studios. I am Jim Rome. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How's your Friday going? Stay strong. The grind does include Friday. You got to finish this thing. Come strong. 1-800-636-8686. Lots of different topics. I'm going off the board. I've got Johnny Venters coming up in about 15 minutes. Had a couple of interviews in hour number one. And normally I'd bust out top of hour number two by going right to a take. And I could. Baseball, basketball, hockey, off the board. Lots of different things that I want to get to. However, and the one thing I normally do not do at the top of hour number two is go right to your phones. Right to the calls. Unless there's a really good call and a very good reason to do so. Hawk, you look panicked. Why are you running in here?
I'm good.
Oh, all right. Must be a pretty important email. Actually, we did start the program by many of you calling him fat. Anyway, normally, top of hour number two, premium real estate on this program, I come out with a strong rant. I come at you hard with something good. I never start an hour by going right to the phones unless I see something interesting. And I do. As an example, last year we had a loyal listener, Jeff from San Antonio. You know him. Jeff in San Antonio. And the reason this was so big, he became an instant legend on the program when he got a little dusty talking to me. It was on his birthday, and he shared how much this show meant to him and how excited he was to become a father.
War me and my fiance, and war Jordan.
All right, so that was an amazing moment. He got choked up. He talked about the show, talked about his fiance, talked about his baby, and talked about what it meant to become a father. I mean, very rare that somebody calls the program and literally starts crying. So he became an instant legend, and I gave him an instant golden ticket for being so in touch with his emotions. But then he called back to defend the ticket because you clones, being who you are, rushed in, tried to beat him down, crush him. And he's like, all right, I hear what's going on here. I got this. I'm fine. He calls in to defend the ticket, and that did not go well at all.
I carry the smack hammer heavy, and I'm coming for all the legends. Vic and no call, his little heroin addiction that he tries to play off with calls to your show, done. So, war me winning the smack off next year.
I hated to do that. Hated to do that. The chopper! I was so pumped to give this guy a golden ticket because it was so real, man. It was so raw. The emotion was raw. It was real. He was not afraid of it. He was in touch with the emotion. He cried on this show, and I loved it, even if the rest of you didn't. But then he called back, and he did that, and he left me no choice but to chop at him, and I ripped the ticket. It hurt me more than it hurt him, but I have a job to do. Now, the best thing is, it didn't mean that he and I had a problem. It didn't leave us on bad terms. In fact, Jeff called the show right before his wife's C-section, so I know we're good. The last I heard from him, baby Jordan was about to be born, and Jeff and his fiance were headed to the courthouse to get married. And now you're up to date. Baby Jordan was about to drop, and then he and the fiance were about to get married, about to get hitched. He's back. Back for more. Let's get the update. Let's find out what's going on. He is now a dad. He is a clone. He is in touch with his emotions. And before I take this phone call, you best remember one thing about Jeff from San Antonio. He is a badass. You don't believe me? You ask him.
I am definitely a badass. I've got a kid, so I mean, that's proof that I am a badass right there.
That is proof. Because nothing says badass like having a kid. That's the most badass thing ever. I'm a badass now. Really? How do you justify a statement like that? Because I got a kid. I'm a badass. If you're a badass because you have a kid, I'm the baddest mother who ever lived. I have two kids.
Yo.
Anyway, my man. When you've got Jeff in San Antonio on the phone lines, you don't just go to him. He deserves a build-up, a ramp-up like that. And only then do you take a phone call from Jeff in San Antonio. I can't wait to find out what he's got today. Let's do this. We go to San Antonio. My man, Jeff. Jeff, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Hey, Jim, what's going on, man?
What's up?
That's a loaded question. That's a term I learned from this show. If I told you everything's going on, you wouldn't believe half of it. But I'm calling to kind of probably cry again, to be honest with you. But I was curious if I might be able to extend an invitation to you and your wife to the ceremony for me and my proposed wife, my fiance. We're going to get married, and I would love nothing more than for you to be able to attend.
Well, first of all, I'm honored. That's really something, Jeff. Let me ask you, and I'll check with the boss like I do for everything social. When is the ceremony?
Probably right after the smack off, because that $5,000 that I win is certainly going to help either plan for your airfare or our airfare to come to you.
I love it. All right, so once you get in the smack off, of course, you have to get that golden ticket back because you already got choppered and I took it. But yeah, on the strength of this phone call, I might be willing to give it back to you. And then if you win and you get that $5,000, that certainly would help either for the honeymoon or anything at all. I'll find out. I can see. Listen, let me ask you this. So you have baby Jordan. You're going to have the ceremony. Jeff, what's it mean to you to marry the fiance you love so much? Can you put that in words?
Not without crying, Jim. Literally, like, tears are welling up in my eyes right now. I was thinking a lot about that as I was on hold, and I really owe a lot of that to you, to be honest. You haven't ever really gone into great detail about you and your wife's relationship, which I respect very highly, but you have kind of laid some fundamental clues about, you know, what you went through when you knew, and I sum it up really easily. I know my fiance is the one for me because there's nobody else that I have more faith in than her, including myself. And I know that she can do things that I can't, and I can do things that she can't, but together we're stronger than either one of us could be separately. So that's the easiest question to answer in the world. That's why I know she's the one, and there's nothing else that I want than to make her my wife so that we can continue on this path that we're on with that security and that wellness and the blessings from the people like yourself and others that are involved with us for the long term, and not just one of these things that people hope work out.
Dude, you're like almost too good to be true, and you found your soulmate. Does she listen to the program? And if she's not listening, or even if she were, what would you say to her?
She listens somewhat. I kind of have gotten her into it. She understands much more now about the show's, you know, focus and premise and kind of like Silk said, it's a moral and epic show disguised as a sports show, and she gets that. And most of your listeners, Jim, I can tell you they probably don't. And I have no idea if she's listening. She's probably not. She's at home taking care of the kid while I'm at work.
Jordan.
She appreciates the value that I put into my fandom of sports. You know, you say it a lot. It's a microcosm of society, and it really is. And it makes our life better. Our intimate relationship is better for insights like yours and the sports that we bring into our household. And then we're excited to raise our daughter as an athlete and to give her that mind of an athlete that you always talked about a lot as well.
Dude, why did you think that you were going to cry? You're holding this thing together beautifully. You're fine. You're fine.
I am crying, actually. There are tears literally running down my face, but I'm not alluding to it, I guess. I'm handling it a little bit better than I have in the past. But I want to give you some appreciation. I really do thank you for kind of pointing out the in touch with his emotions thing. I learned a long time ago it's okay to cry, but you can't cry at work. So I'm at lunch. We're cool there. But you're right, Jim. I mean, it really is okay to express that emotion sometimes.
Hell yes, it is. Bro, do you...
But you can lose credibility if you do it too often. So it's a double-edged sword for sure.
That's a good point. You can lose credibility if you do it too often. So I've got to ask the question, Jeff. I got to be real. How often do you cry? Do you cry every day or only when you call this show?
Man, to be honest, if I tried hard enough, I could probably think about crying every single day. I'm just a very empathetic type of person, always have been. So I can look at the news or I can see something that's going on around me and really, really start bawling for no apparent reason if I wanted to. So how often do I cry? As often as needed, I guess. It's not a stress relief for me. It's not like, oh, I need to go schedule in a cry so I can feel better. Sometimes things just move you, and I try to eliminate the embarrassment from that as much as possible.
My man, you are the best. Let me just say this, Jeff. I appreciate the invite very much. I'll check with Janet. She runs our calendar. But in the meantime, I can make this. I can do this for you. You are in touch with your emotion. You should be. I respect it. You, my friend, have re-earned the golden ticket. Give it back to him, Alvin.
I've got a golden ticket.
You tell baby Jordan and you tell the missus that you are once again holding a golden ticket and now eligible for the 5-GER. Jeff, you have an amazing weekend. I appreciate the invite, and let's talk again soon. Brother, great job. You pick him up, Hawk. You do it right now. And Jeff, whatever you do, don't fire up Twitter. I got your back. I'm not sure anybody else does. Whatever you do, do not go to TweetDeck. Do not go to Twitter. Or do it if you don't give a damn. My man is the best. Jeff in San Antonio. He's a beauty. All right, so now I've got an invite to the wedding, too. He's right. I think he's the only one who gets this show when the rest of you do not. 1-800-636-8686. Your reaction to that phone call. You know where to find me. You can call me. You can hit me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. If you want to take it to the Facebook page, you can find me on Facebook. You can hit my Instagram account, whatever you want. There's a million different ways. You can hit that voicemail number that we use for our podcast. You can't not find me. I'm everywhere. I'm easy to find. Watch that camera, Hawk.
Yep.
I can't wait for the time that Hawk comes running in here and smashes his head on the camera. All right, so I'm checking some of the early reaction. You know it's a good phone call when there's reaction well before the end of the phone call. The first tweet through, at my stage name, is this guy for real? Nobody's more real. Oh, he's for real. That's legit. That's legit. That's not some stage phone call. That's not some seated phone call. That's not a guy just doing something for shtick. No, that's him. That's him. He's all about that life. That's real. Casey in Boston. Usually very empathetic people in Boston. Let's see how this goes. Casey in Boston writes, run this sappy bitch, Rome. As only a Bostonian could say. Run this sappy bitch, Rome. Run him. I racked him. Run him, I gave him a golden ticket. Run him, I gave him a runway that the rest of you would never have. Quote, run this sappy bitch, Rome. How about Milwaukee? You know, the Midwest. Midwest, most genuine people in the world. They'll understand. Milwaukee will understand. I mean, sure, Boston. Man, Boston is a tough town. Tough, tough, tough town. Harsh town in a lot of ways. And I'm not here to hate Boston. Half my family's in Boston. I know Boston. Tough, tough town. I would expect somebody from Boston to say, run this sappy bitch, Rome. But Milwaukee, now Wisconsin, is nice. Midwest, real, genuine. Let's find out. Tyler in Milwaukee tweets, Jeff is the biggest loser to ever call a radio show. Good God. Not the biggest loser to ever call my show, the biggest loser to ever call any radio show. Not the biggest loser to call a sports talk show, but the biggest loser to call a radio show, period.
Damn,
come on, man.
Literally running down.
Take it easy. The biggest loser ever? Run this sappy bitch? Why? He found a woman he loves. He had a baby. He can't wait to be a father. He invited me to his wedding because the show has made a difference in his life. Why are you killing this guy? I'm telling you what, a lot of you are pretty miserable. A lot of you are pretty miserable and your lives didn't turn out the way you hoped. And you know why you're miserable? Because your life didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, and his life is turning out exactly the way he wants it to. So you're here to hate. That's my interpretation of this. All of you killing this guy are killing this guy because your lives didn't work out and his life is working out perfectly. Katie Savage, really quickly. Katie Savage is in. All right, a lady clone. She'll understand. I bet Jeff cried minutes after Jordan was created. Yeah, Katie, I bet. It's his daughter. He loves her. Really quickly, going to break. At John Chat 1 tweets, Jeff, dude, get in touch with your manhood. Paul Wilson, Jeff is such a bitch. All right, anyway, I don't have time for this. Jeff, you're all good, brother. Trust me, bro, you're all good. Even if they're calling you a sappy bitch and the lady clones are piling on, you're all good, bro. You're all good. Stay strong. When we come back, Johnny Venters joins me. What is the most important aspect of a quarterback's game? Size, arm strength, speed? If you ask the experts, the answer is simple. It is accuracy. Hiring for your business is not that much different. You're not looking for attempts. You're looking for completions. You're looking for the right candidate for the job. No other job site is built for accuracy like ZipRecruiter. Here's how this works. One click, send your job post to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology will learn what you're looking for, identify people with the right experience, and invite them to apply to your job. Here's the result. Accurate matches to people who you would love to hire. Do you need a stat to back that up? Because I've got one. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through that site in just one single day. Accurate matches. It's what makes ZipRecruiter the smartest way to hire. And you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. Once again, try it for free. The best service there is. ZipRecruiter.com/Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Got a conversation right now, which is a really, really good thing on a number of levels. Number one, the story that I'm about to share is absolutely incredible. Number two, it's a really good thing for Jeff in San Antonio that I've got a conversation right now with somebody else. All right. As promised, we're joined right now by an all-star, a pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. For the season, he is 1-0. He's got an ERA of 1.42. He has undergone 3.5 Tommy John surgeries. 3.5. He recorded a win on Tuesday. It was his first win since 2012. He went 5 years and 271 days between wins. The Rays are at the Angels tonight. That's a 10:07 game Eastern time. My guest is Johnny Venters. Johnny, it's really good to have you on the program. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jim. I'm good, man. I appreciate you having me.
So good to have you. And, Johnny, it's almost an impossible story to tell in the time that we have, but I want to do my best to do this. You got the win on Tuesday, and as I mentioned, that was your first win since 2012. The story behind that journey to that point is absolutely amazing. You were drafted back in 2003. You're playing in the minor leagues, and you had Tommy John surgery in 05. So, Johnny, start right there. What do you remember about that first procedure and the comeback from it?
Yeah, you know, I was young, and I remember – you know, all the time in the training room. And the, you know, the hardest part when you're young is just, you know, not being able to play. You know, you want to be out there and you want to, you're trying to get to the big leagues. And when you can't play, it's difficult on you when you're young like that. But, you know, fortunately, you know, it healed up well and I was able to get back out there after, you know, I think it was a year and a half off and then I was able to get back out there. So, I was glad it worked out.
Hey, listen, you not only made it back. I mean, you made it back to the majors, and you were an all-star with the Braves. So what was your life like at that point?
Man, getting to the big leagues was awesome, you know. I think I spent 5 years in the minor leagues, and to get to the big leagues with a team that drafted me and brought me up was definitely special. I was just excited to be there and you know, try to help that team win and try to do my job every time they call my name.
Johnny Venter's my guest. So life's great. You made it back. But then in 2013, you suffer another elbow injury. Having been through Tommy John once before, what's it like when you suffer that injury and you know you have to go through that whole process all over again?
Yeah, I was bummed out. But, you know, to be honest with you, I wasn't too worried about it just because I think the first one was successful. So I kind of assumed the second one would be fine. So I was bummed out for a little bit, but, you know, I wasn't really worried about it failing or anything like that. And, you know, I think that might have, once I started throwing, worked against me, I might have thrown a little bit too much, a little too hard, maybe too soon. So I just, you know, that's what I did the first time. So,
Hey, Johnny, let me be clear about what goes on, though, when you go through something like this. The first time you injured it, they took tissue from your left wrist and they put it in your elbow. This time they took tissue from your left hamstring. For those who don't know, what's the rehab process like when you're coming back from such a serious procedure?
Yeah, you know, it's the first, you know, month, 6 weeks is trying to get your range of motion back. You know, you get to extend and bend your elbow all the way. And then, you know, after that, it's a lot of time strengthening it, getting it prepared to throw. And then, you know, once you start throwing, you know, I think it's about nowadays 5-6 months you start throwing, And, you know, just trying to build up to new distances and new effort levels, trying to stress that ligament and get it used to the stress of throwing a baseball. So it's just, you know, you're just constantly trying to get to each next step, and hopefully it feels good for, you know, the whole process.
All right, so you'd been through it before, you did it again, you made it back, and then in 2014, Johnny, you feel a pop yet again. What's going through you both emotionally and physically when you injure your elbow for a third time?
Yeah, you know, it was similar. That one wasn't – I wasn't, like, super surprised by that because my arm kind of was bothering me for a while during the throwing program, and then I finally got to – live BP, my first live BP. I think I got 7 pitches in and it popped, and obviously I'd felt that before and knew kind of I had a good idea what was going on. So, you know, I was bummed out. You know, at the point I wasn't sure what I was going to do and everything. So I spoke with a bunch of doctors and decided to try it again and decided to go with Dr. Elitrosh in LA for my third. So, you know, it was a rough little bit when I was bummed out, but, you know, just got to push through it.
Johnny Venter's my guest. I mean, it's amazing. So you pushed through it. So this has gone on 3 times, I would imagine. Was there not a moment where you thought to yourself, hey, look, man, I've done everything I possibly can. I've had a really good run in baseball. I've done everything I could. I'm proud of my career. It's just not meant to be. This elbow will not keep me going or allow me to keep going. Did you have that thought?
Yeah, I definitely had that. I had that thought, you know, at times during each of them probably, you know. I would just try to push past it and get my work done. And I would, you know, once I got in the training room and started getting my work done, I would feel better. And, you know, I fortunately through the whole thing, the whole, you know, second, third, fourth surgeries, I had my family with me and they were supporting me and the kids. And so that made it easier to, you know, go in there and get my work done and just push through it.
Hey, Johnny, you just said my third and fourth. We haven't even covered the fourth. You got through 3, and then you went back to work again. And sure enough, in July of 2016, you felt a pop in the elbow, and that makes 4, or at least in this case, 3.5. But you mentioned your family. Your wife said that when you told her about the fourth, she was just in shock. She was heartbroken. But she said, yeah, Listen, this is my man. If this is what you want to do, I'm going to support you, and I'll be there for you. What did that support mean to you? And when you and I, would you be having this conversation with me had she not been there and supported you like that?
Yeah, I definitely would not be here. You know, I can't put into words, you know, what it means to me and the type of woman that she is. She's tough. She's a trooper. You know, she never wavered on it. She, whatever I wanted to do, she was going to support me and do whatever she could to help me and to have her there and support me through the whole thing. You know, I wouldn't be here without her, that's for sure. And, you know, that goes for the Rays organization and my parents and my agent. And, you know, I had a really good support system. So it definitely made it easier for me to do what I was trying to do. I was, you know, just trying to do the work, you know.
All the way back, 5 years, 271 days between wins. You get the call, you make it back, you get a win on Tuesday. And Johnny, can you even put into words, what was it like to be out there on Tuesday and then to record that win?
Yeah, it was crazy, man. I was just, like I said, I'm just trying to take it day by day, soak it in. I don't know, you know, I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm excited to be here and on Tuesday, you know, to be able to get a couple outs and help this team win a game. You know, I know it had been a while for me personally, but you know, I was just excited for the team to get a win right there.
Let me ask you this before you go. I had Brandon Mann, the Rangers pitcher, on earlier in the program, and he said almost word for word what you just said, that I'm just going to enjoy this day by day, enjoy the process. But something else he told me, when he was battling and he didn't get that call up until he was 34, he never, ever gave up on the dream. And what he said was, Johnny, look, I knew. When everybody was telling me I was not a major leaguer, I knew that I was a major leaguer. I knew that I belonged up there. As you were doing all this work, was there ever any doubt in your mind, or is that what got you through it too, that I know I'm a major leaguer?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, I got to the big leagues and I had a little bit of success. And, you know, I just wanted to get back and see if I could do it again. I knew my you know, my stuff would probably not be as good as it used to be, but you know, I wanted to see if I could, one, stay healthy enough to do it, and if I could, to see how I could, you know, perform. So that kept me going, and like you said, my family and the Rays and my support system kept me going, and you know, fortunately, so far, so good, and just, you know, see how long this thing will last.
Listen, one last question. Royals pitcher Danny Duffy had Tommy John back in 2012, and he said that when you go through it, the psychological side of it is just as significant as the physical. Quote, it's definitely a shot of reality. You've got to make sure you know who you are, end quote. I mean, if he makes a statement like that after going through it once, and you've gone through it three and a half times, what have you learned about yourself as a result of overcoming all these challenges, psychological and physical?
Yeah, I agree with what he said. It's definitely just as challenging mentally as it is physically. I just tried to keep in perspective when I was going through it. You know, I understand that there's people going through a lot worse things than trying to play a game for a living. So I just tried to keep in perspective, and I surrounded myself with great people and a great organization, and just try to get through the work. And I learned a lot about myself, the type of person I wanted to be, and, you know, how I wanted to work and how I wanted to, raise my kids and things like that. So it definitely, in terms of a personal standpoint, I think it helped me grow as a person and be with my family was huge.
Betcha. Johnny Venter's my guest, 1-0, an ERA of 1.42. And again, 5 years and 271 days between those victories. Johnny, it's an amazing story. I'm really glad you came on to share it. Thank you very much. Congrats, and really nice to have you on the show today.
I appreciate you having me, Jim. Have a good day, buddy.
You too, Johnny. Have a great day. Have a great day. An amazing story. So many things about that conversation that are amazing. So many things. Clones, I'm going to ask that you focus on the right things. And I think you see me working. This guy had three and a half Tommy John surgeries, meaning the fourth surgery was not as invasive as the first three, but a surgery nonetheless. And he just kept coming back. Family helped him get through it, and he did it. And yes, I admit, his voice sounded slightly like Jeff. I get that. But why don't we focus on what's important here? Boy, that was some kind of half hour we just had. Jeff in San Antonio coming back in, inviting me to his wedding, and then keeping it real, being in touch with his emotions. And then Johnny Venter's 5 years, 271 days, nearly 6 years between wins. Some reaction. This is an email. Dear Rome, Jeff is a complete dork, clown, buffoon, and stiff. He is very soft. Does he watch soap operas too? Also, who is that dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning? An F-14 Tomcat could easily land on that flight deck he calls a forehead. Your buddy, Eric in Orlando. Let me tell you something, Eric. That is one of the most disrespectful, harsh emails I think I've read in a long... Alvin, was that an F-14 Tomcat that you just flew through? Do it again. You did that as I read an email asking, who is the dude next to Hawk, Peyton Manning? An F-14 Tomcat could easily land on the flight deck he calls a forehead. Let me ask you something, Eric, since you're my buddy. That guy next to a Hawk, James Kelly, is his head pink? No. So no, it's not Peyton Manning. Boy, Alvin, you're having yourself a day, aren't you? Who is the dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning. Why would Peyton Manning work for me on this show? Peyton Manning is very wealthy, very smart, very successful. He would never be one of the stiffs behind the glass. I don't remember a line written quite like that one in a long time on this show. Who is the dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning? An F-14 Tomcat could easily land on the flight deck he calls a forehead? Your buddy, Eric in Orlando. Hawk, I've never seen you so happy about anything. But given the amount of heat you've taken, Hawk, in recent weeks, it's okay. Kelly's not laughing very hard. Bro, we all knew this was going to happen. Me, you, all of us. Although I am better looking than all you guys. But we knew this was going to happen when we came on TV. Don't be surprised. Everybody get in line. Damn. What a half hour this has been. And now it's 36 minutes. Ice. Goose.
Ice. Man.
Squatter. James Kelly. All right, I better get out. We are going ballistic, Mav. Clones are going ballistic, Mav. The clones are having one of their best hours ever, Mav. God, I gotta get out of here. Time for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Just so you know, Jeff in San Antonio and that guy next to Hawk are running the show right now. The entire show is about those two guys. Never mind that Johnny Venters came back from 3.5 Tommy Johns. 3.5. 3.5 Tommy Johns. Came back from the first one, was an all-star, had a second one, had a third one, and had a fourth procedure. Never mind that that guy went almost 6 years between wins. The two people running the show right now are Jeff in San Antonio and, quote, who is that dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning? An F-14 Tomcat could easily land on the flight deck he calls a forehead. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see that flight deck. Not only that, my pals in New York, CBS Sports Network, had a graphic. They had an actual USS. There it is. USS Intrepid. And then they've slugged it James Kelly's forehead. Are you watching this? Check it out. If you're watching CBS Sports Network, it's on TV right now. There's a shot. There's video of the USS Intrepid. And beneath it, they have James Kelly's forehead. A literal live shot, if I'm not mistaken, of an aircraft carrier, the USS Intrepid. Man, New York's got us. New York is picking us up. They're talking junk about us. Well, really not us. You, Kelly. I mean, I know we're a team and all, except in that case, you're on your own. This guy's incredible. Somebody else hit James Kelly. He's got one of his boys watching for the first time. Even before the email came, his boy hit him up with, dude, I'm watching your show for the first time. Man, your forehead is huge. One of his boys hit him with that. What an hour for you clones. And again, personal appearance is not show fodder. Quickly, some reaction to Jeff in San Antonio. I thought for sure if I interviewed Johnny Venters, that it would be all about him. It's one of the great baseball stories ever. A major leaguer sent me an absolutely great, great message and story about Johnny Venters that I may or may not share with you. Awesome. Except it's not about that, right? It's about Jeff in San Antonio. Rome, whenever, this is an email. Rome, whenever somebody cries, it sometimes makes me cry. And Jeff crying has done just that. I've got tears running down my face, Rome, from laughing at how much of a loser this guy is. If he cries this much calling into a radio show, imagine him on his freaking wedding day. He won't get his men's warehouse deposit back due to all the water damage on his tux. This is now the second time this kook has cried on the radio. I'd say scoreboard, look up at it, but he'd probably start crying at that too.
It's okay to cry.
Teagues in Philly. These are tough towns now. They're not having it. Philly's not having it. Boston's not having it. This guy's been called a sappy bitch. Soft. I got to hear from some other towns. All right, so Teagues in Philly is killing him. This says, Rome, Jeff in San Antonio is easily the worst thing to ever happen to this town. Signed, the Alamo. Matt in Phoenix. This email reads, Ward Jeff crying after taking one bite of his dinner because This is the best taco I've ever eaten. Chad in Orlando. This email says, wore Jeff's wedding being a destination wedding. Unwore the destination being Ghana. Ghana, Alvy. Ghana. Wore, Ghana. Unwore the destination being Ghana. Alvy, the guy cries when he's from Ghana, losing to Ghana.
I'm crying, actually. There's tears literally running down my face.
Dude, stop, Alvy. You blew that. Micah Tallahassee.
It's the World Cup.
Thank you.
It's the World Cup.
Bro. Who'd you lose to, bro?
We had a chance. We had a chance.
Right. Who did you lose to, bro?
The second year we lost to Ghana.
Ghana.
The second year.
Why is it always Ghana?
If you don't watch soccer, this is what it means to us. This is what it means to us. We should have won this game.
Why is it always Ghana?
If I tried hard enough, I could probably think about crying every single day.
Who's that guy next to Hawk with the giant forehead? Why? Chris, no longer in St. Pete. He tweets, You're always trying to promote the show. It's time to slap a 100-foot billboard on James Kelly's forehead and have him walk the 405. It's time to slap. It's incredible. All right, clones have had your fun. Hey, Chris, stop doing it. I got a show to do here.
Omaha!
Alvin. You know, I'm in a studio right now where I've turned literally the thermostat all the way down to like the 40s, and I'm still on fire. Wow. Omaha, Alvin. Cut that meat, here we are. Omaha, cut that meat, and here we are. Dude, James Kelly. Let me tell you about James Kelly. So James Kelly's been our webmaster for years. He's been crushing it on this show for years, putting in time for years. He has done so many things. He's the one who also makes you clones legends on our Facebook page with your calls. This guy's done a hell of a lot for the program. I think he deserves a little more respect than what he's getting right now, which is to say none at all.
You give them some credit.
You're always trying to promote the show. It's time to slap a 100-foot billboard on James Kelly's forehead and have him walk the 405. As I mentioned, this entire show has now deteriorated into Jeff in San Antonio and that guy next to Hawk. And his gigantic forehead that you could land an aircraft carrier on. And Alvin's doing his best to make it worse, playing Mavs music. Cut that meat. Here we are.
Meat. Sandwich. Cut that meat.
Here we are. I'm out of my third Pro Bowl.
Phil in Dallas tweets, Jeff's fiance is going to be pissed when his mascara is running in the wedding photos.
I am crying, actually. There are tears literally running down my face.
Jeff from the 919 tweets, is it possible to give a golden ticket to an email because that was straight gold? Wore Pinky the Squatter. If I didn't laugh so Pinky the Squatter. If I didn't laugh so hard at the email, I think I probably would have given him a golden ticket. Because I've always said, the golden ticket, you can rip a golden ticket if the content is good enough. Even if I have no idea who you are and I've never heard from you or of you, if the content has that kind of an impact on the program, in and of itself, no matter what it is, you can get a golden ticket to call the smack off. And that's exactly what that is. That's that kind of transcendent content. Literally, that line alone is worthy of a golden ticket. Also, who is that dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning? An F-14 Tomcat could easily land on the flight deck that he calls a forehead. That would be good enough for a golden ticket. Alvin's like, dude, did you read any of the billboards? No, I'm too busy talking about that forehead. And Jeff, ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, I need you to go, hey, pick me up now. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. Next hour, I'm going to answer one of your questions. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. There's one, Alvin. I will make good on the others next hour. Wow. Can I have my sports talk show back? Would that be possible? Can we talk sports next hour? We're not doing another hour of this, all right? I can tell you that right now. We're not doing another hour of this. Stay tuned.